Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live today from the Kirby Family Studio and SDPB's Sioux Falls Studio. And there's a lot of talent sort of packed into this small space today for Moment in Sound. We have with us Yi-Chun Lin. She's the Artistic Director of the Sioux Falls Chamber Music Collective. Dr. Lin, welcome. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure to be here.
Also joining us, Angelina Gibson. She is the founder and artistic director of the Artitenser Project at Augustana University. She's there studying music, religion, literature. She's a dancer and much more. Angelina, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
We have this wonderful program for context for people coming up called Moving Music. And this is a collaboration between music and dance and language and expression. There's a lot happening here. Mm-hmm. How do you sort of, and we'll start with you, invite people into what this performance is going to be, what this experience is going to be for the audience?
Well, we want to create this really creative and cultural experience for people, and also want to invite them to experience every moment of it as their personal journey. So we have a lot of different cultural elements in the music throughout the whole program. And we also put a lot of input, you know, personal input, artistic input in each work. And so each work is like a little episode. So people can, you know, experience it, like, you know, going around the world, kind of, to have a little taste of different things. Yeah.
Right. And this is something that in your music as a classical musician, mm-hmm. The list of things that we could say that you have done and where you have studied is very extensive. You're not interested in just staying in one place and just playing Western music. Talk to us a little bit about how you approach music in general, your study of it, and also inviting other people in.
Right. For me, music is actually my window because I grew up in Taiwan, this small island, which is wonderful island as well. Well, I grew up there, and then music is really a window for me to experience the world. And that's why music, like to me, there's all sorts of genres from different backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds, and to me, it's all so fascinating. Yeah. So whenever I'm trying to introduce music to people, I try to include a little bit of different elements so people can kind of see the world through the program I'm presenting. Yeah. And that's always my goal in life because I think we're such a small part of the world. And we can only learn from each other, right? Yeah.
Angelina, as a dancer, you're also a classical piano player, so you have this music background. Mm-hmm. You're studying all kinds of different things at Augustana, really not limited by what you want to study, and then you also are an amazing dancer and choreographer. Tell us a little bit about, let's start with this project, Moving Music, and how you came to the collaboration and how you kind of work together. What is this process like?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess it all started with the beautiful diversity and intertwining we have within ATP, our Artitenser Project.
Yes.
We have the sincere pleasure of having a native Singaporean, a native East Indian, and even one of our dancers is half Hawaiian. So there's this just constant conversation of cultures within the company. So when Dr. Lin approached me about collaborating together, it was actually at the second showing of No Man's Land, War is Never Cheap Here, which was a social justice piece about women in the military and the sexual abuse epidemic, actually, that is gaining more momentum in the media and such like that. And so we were in conversation together around that, about doing this beautiful collaboration together in combining the languages of dance and music. And I had the blessing of being in a non-Western music class that past semester, and there's this gorgeous example of, I believe, my professor and a couple other professors asked a woman to, can you, sing or basically perform the music we're analyzing because we want to hear it, and she danced. So I think that just shows that constant intertwining of dance and music, as in they are unified in dialogue constantly, and maybe sometimes in the West I feel like they're very separated sometimes, and perhaps that wave is changing, but we hope as collaborators that we can kind of recapture that spontaneity, that spark of, you know, intertwining that we see in non-Western cultures.
Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to some, there's a couple things happening here I want to make sure people recognize and think about. When you talk about the people who are represented at the dance company, mm-hmm. Art Atenzer, and you say, you know, we even have somebody who, you know, has Indigenous Hawaiian background, mm-hmm. it's not a tokenism checking the thing off the box, mm-hmm. like look at us and see mm-hmm. that we are, you know, we have these colors representative, these skin tones representative. Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity. It changes the conversation in the room mm-hmm. when different people from different backgrounds are in the room. Can you give me an example of that, where just whether it's from music and dance or from different, you know, backgrounds, I grew up in this different place, where you have noticed an opening in your own process because you saw how somebody else sees the world that you had not thought of before?
So for me, because I'm a foreigner myself, so it's very interesting whenever, it's also enlightening for me, whenever we have this kind of conversation, like culturally. Right now, actually, this pianist I invited for this project, she's a Japanese. And then we, even though we are kind of close with, you know, on that side of the globe, we still have so many differences in our cultures. Right. So we were actually just talking about like how little things, like how we behave as people, as a group, are so differently. And that also affects our music and how we see music. So yeah, I think, and we, through this opportunity, talking with dancers, it's even more fascinating because they, you know, they think of movement so differently than musicians.
Right.
And it's really inspiring for me to actually try to put my mind in your shoes right. when I'm playing the music. So I don't, you know, so we can actually collaborate this, this each work as a whole unit instead of like music as a separate unit from, or as a accompaniment piece mm-hmm. to the dancers. We're really trying to build it together.
Yeah. And even when you came in the room mm-hmm. and sort of checked out this space that we were going to ask you to play in,
right.
it's a physical thing
yes.
to play music. It's
right.
not like we can just put you, and people sometimes we have to, you know, even on a production crew say, no, mm-hmm. no, that's not going to work.
Right.
Because this person is going to take up a physical space that's
yes.
different than when you're talking.
Right.
So there's dance and movement in what you do as a musician.
Right.
All the time.
It's all the time. But
yeah.
people don't think about it. And like, you know, everything's vibration as well. So like, even though, you know, we don't move as much, you know, we might stand at one place stationary. But like, you know, all the sound vibrating through the walls, through the surfaces, you know, if people try to, you know, put different perspectives into what sound is, you know, try to visualize it, it's actually quite fascinating
yeah.
when people put different glasses on, you know, when they
can you feel it?
It
when you're dancing in, because you when
yeah.
you talk to symphony musicians, they'll
yes.
say sometimes there's certain pieces you're on the stage, you can feel either an actual breeze
mm-hmm.
from the movement of the musicians, or you can feel the sound vibrations, and they
yes.
have these moments where they're like, I felt something
yes.
that you know, maybe in the audience you didn't see. When you're moving, is there a connection that surprises you versus when you're playing with a musician like this versus, you know, playing from a recording, dancing to a recording? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And kind of going off what you said about being a physical thing,
mm-hmm.
I think it really actually encapsulates the title of our program. It's music can move you, it will move you,
mm-hmm.
but it needs to be live. I think to have that tangibility
mm-hmm.
of an audience, but also an audience is so physical too. I mean,
right.
I can't imagine doing this program without an audience mm-hmm. feeding
mm-hmm.
us. There's always this idea in dance. It's like, oh, you are feeding off your audience. You're not
yes.
just there to entertain. You're there to be in conversation, to be something together. You're
right.
you're in it's a symbiosis, really.
Right. Yeah.
To me, it is.
Yes, exactly.
And not to spoil the program, but there is a piece where
yes.
it is improvisatory. But I think we've been talking a lot about this spark that can ignite between a musician and a dancer,
mm-hmm.
and specifically this piece called Be There.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at the composer's philosophy.
Yeah.
And there is this idea where, as a choreographer, I love to break the third wall all
mm-hmm.
the time
mm-hmm.
with the audience and bring the audience, just basically expand the stage space to
mm-hmm.
the back. of the seating. Mm-hmm. And this piece, yeah, we bring in the audience very physically. Yes. And to where an audience member has to all of a sudden look at the back of the space to see a dancer, mm-hmm. yet can still feel, hear the very presence of music on the other side.
Yeah, so that's really like the essence why I actually started Sioux Falls Music Chamber Music Collective. It's because I want to break the barriers between people, like, you know, audiences and the performers. And I think we are all a part of, you know, this big group of art, right? And then we have been trying to do is to bring people different perspective to think about a performance or think about their lives and try to bring them very personable experiences they can relate. That's why I was super excited when we were talking about all those ideas. I was like, yes, we are so aligned. Sure. Yeah, because, you know, everything, I study music all my life, but it's just a small part of my life. What we want to do is something bigger. We want to learn from each other's experiences, learn from each other's perspectives, and try to put something, build something, create something more inspiring to people, and so they can see art from different perspectives instead of, oh, they're just performing there and there's a big wall right in front of them. I think that's the conception, that's like the misconception I want to break.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Do you find that South Dakota audiences are ready to go there with you?
I think they are, definitely. Yeah, because I've met so many, like, creative artists and musicians and thinkers and, you know, all those people around me. And I believe they are ready.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
Yeah, I think this whole idea, I think it's a momentum builder. Mm-hmm. I think if people are ready to venture, which I really do believe in that true entrepreneurial spirit, mm-hmm. that's very much alive in Sioux Falls and especially at Augie, yes. that's really fostered there. I think it could really be something very unprecedented that we could foster here.
Yeah, and at the same time, if they are not comfortable with this concept, it's okay. They can just still sit back and relax and just enjoy the experience. Right. We are not trying to force any ideas on them. That's why we're not going to talk too much, but, you know, just going to bring the experience to them.
Right. Yeah. You can watch it, but yeah, you can. Yeah. There's an invitation.
Exactly.
Even when you go home at the end of a performance, there's an invitation to consider what this means on a grander scale for where we lived. You have your violin with you, of course.
Yes.
And we've given you this very small, so I'll give you a minute to adjust yourself.
Okay.
But you're going to play a little bit so people can just hear the beautiful sounds on the radio today.
Okay.
And we are going to record some movement after this segment, so when people go online, they'll be able to see Angelina dancing as well. But for now, some music from Yi Chun Lin. Talk a little bit about Augustana, Angelina, and you as a college student, because This is, you know, you're still in the middle of your studies at Augustana, and yet you're using that as a launching pad, as a, like, how do you sort of integrate life as a student and life as an artist in the community in collaboration mm-hmm. with people like Dr. Lin?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think there's something very sacred about being a student, and I think it was actually Long Wong who said that I have the privilege, the extreme privilege of being a lifelong student. So to me, collaboration, and it's interesting being a musician and a dancer, and essentially these two art forms I just didn't want to choose between. And I actually think, though, I've gotten a lot of questions lately about, oh, what inspires you as a choreographer? Like, how do you come up with these things? I said, you know, it actually stems a lot from my studies. I'll be studying something, and whether English or art, and it actually comes from finding connections between, I think Augustana is really good about that. It's that spirit of liberal arts where, you know, you can have multiple things going, but you can find those connections or those conversations between certain things in studying religion, literature, and music. It's beautiful to see that constant round table between those three things. And having dance in there, it feels a lot like collaborating with Dr. Lin. Being such a wonderful musician, I learned from her both as a dancer, as an academic, and a musician constantly. So I really think that, I always say, to me, listening is so sacred. And I think that's what being a student for me is about, is just open ears and constantly letting things flow in unabridged.
Yeah. Listening is sacred. That's something all three of us have in common. Yeah,
yes.
I think it's this love of listening. And for me, it's, you know, for these moments in sound, it feels like such a privilege to sit and, you know, to be in the room while you play. And it also feels like such a gift, the sound of the human voice in conversation is music to me,
yeah.
You know, on a daily basis. It's,
right.
It's never boring.
Yeah, and I really echo to what you just said, because I think even as professionals, I mean, everybody one day is going to be this old, and we'll have to find a job, and we'll call ourselves professionals. But it's an endless process of learning, right? So this sacred feeling, I really appreciate it. Like, you know, everything is, to me, it's all collaborations. And the more open-minded we are, the more, you know, open we are to ideas and to this concept of, you know, we are all contributing in creating something is also very sacred to me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people probably forget once, you know, we put ourselves in one category as one professional, we forget about that. And that's why I love this, you know, this collaboration. I don't want to call you guys just students to, you know, a lot of people have misconception, oh, they are students, they're still learning, they are not there yet. But to me, no, you are, you know, you are your own. You are just in this stage of life, and then you're going to be better. And just like, you know, I'm still learning as well. Mm-hmm. So I just, yeah, it's also my privilege to work
Thank
with
you.
Yeah, because, you know, you're so talented. And then we are, you know, we are all where we are, you know. One day we're all growing as time goes.
And there's never a sense, and I know other Augustana professors have sat in the mm-hmm. same space and really articulated this, and I'm sure it's happening at other universities in South Dakota as well, but you don't have to wait until you graduate and become a professional to change your community.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that's really encouraged at Augustana, to think of that whole person mm-hmm. and really also think about how are we living in a community.
Yes.
Right now, I've certainly heard that more than once from leadership at your university. Do you get that when you're in class, that there's a sense of it's not like we're going to hand you this diploma and you're going to become an adult. We want to know what you have to offer your community today, right now.
Oh, absolutely. And I've had the pleasure of actually being a huge reason I'm a former philosophy major, and then I went to religion, which. Those two things are not mutually exclusive, actually, because I've had the extreme privilege of being in Dr. Richard Swanson, Dr. Murray Haar's classrooms, and one of my favorite sayings from Judaism is the answer is more important than the question. The question is more important than the answer. Mm-hmm. And I think I really try to live by that, because I think through our art, for me as an artist, I feel like we can raise questions that are so motivating and can just be the catalyst for something really powerful. And one of my favorite things with working with ATP is the acceptance of through the international community. I feel like there's been a real push at Augie to really hear our students from abroad. And every Friday, there's a chance to go hear about someone's home country, a chance to just listen and put on their glasses for a little bit and strive to understand.
Nichan, we're really seeing that from the South Dakota Symphony, who, with the Lakota Music Project and with the trip to Washington, D.C., and with the work that you do every time that there's a, you know, the Lunar New Year celebrations, reaching out to all these different communities and saying that we're a community organization. You're not just a musician in a chair and getting that Beethoven right. This is an organization that is so much more. Speak to that, if you will, a little bit. How does that sort of, the way this orchestra is run, help you continue not only to be the lifelong student, but to change the community that you've decided to call home?
Yes, I'm so proud to be a member of the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra. Sorry, I can't speak. But like there's Lakota Project you mentioned. We got to work with Native American kids and got to go to reservations. I still remember the first time I went there. I was in awe. I was like, what happened to this place? Like, we could have built it, you know, a lot better here. So I really appreciate all the things we have been trying to build there. And the symphony has tried so hard to find funding, to get support. And I think now slowly people are aware of this wonderful project that we are doing. And I'm very glad. I hope it will continue. Yeah. And there's also, Delta David Geyer has being in really, I think he's so wonderful, and he's trying to bring a lot of different kinds of repertoires and musical styles in our programs, like every year, and each year just gets more and more exciting. And all the artists he brought in are just so phenomenal, and they are all wonderful human beings. So I think it's such a wonderful thing for people here in South Dakota to see what we can do and what other ideas are out there, and we can be inspired by all those things. That's why I'm so happy to be here. This is my fifth year or fourth year here, and I have been feeling so inspired by so many people, individuals around me, including you, Angelina.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping you'll play something else for us here on the radio. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're going to play an excerpt from, or what style, or what?
So this music is inspired by bluegrass and a little bit of jazz. It's on the modern. It has this modern touch. So it might sound a little repetitive, but I think it's kind of fun. Just enjoy it.
Okay. Setting up in our tiny studio here for a moment. Yes. Thank you so much for that. Angelina Gibson, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. I used to tell people when I was a print journalist that you'd interview musicians and dancers, and sometimes they wouldn't finish their sentences. They would just start moving to finish a sentence. And it's so great to be on the radio and on video where you can see that happen. Because as a print journalist, you're like, no, I need you to...
Yeah, I know. Totally
I need
understand.
You to bring that sentence to a close, please.
Yes.
So Angelina's watching this, and she can't stop. She can't stop moving, even as she listens. The program is called Moving Music. It's Saturday, February 8th at 2 p.m. at Augustana in the Hammer Recital Hall. Thank you so much. We look forward to many more projects in the future, many more conversations.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much, Lori.
Thank you.